Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Women behind bars face a different set of challenges and stigmas than men do, particularly surrounding their children, and they don't often get an opportunity to share their experiences. But some women at the Chittenden Regional Correctional Facility in South Burlington have just had their poetry and prose published in a new book called Hear Me, See Me, Incarcerated Women Write. Sarah Bartlett is the co-editor of that book and the co-director of Writing Inside Vermont. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jane. It's a pleasure to be here.
When we say that there are different challenges that women face behind bars and perhaps a different kind of stigma, what are those challenges?
Well, a lot of the women that we see come from a cycle of poverty, abuse of all kinds, and actually have been easy targets for being led into bad decisions. So not only do we expect women to be the ones to stay home and take care of the children, but when they are taken into custody, they often lose custody of their children. And then it's a lot harder for them when they need to, they don't have the kind of services that are available outside to rehabilitate themselves, if you will. What we do is, in writing with them, try to help create a stronger foundation and give them an opportunity to examine the choices that they've made and to come to understand they actually can make better choices.
Would you mind reading a piece from the new book that reflects that kind of experience that you're talking about here?
I would be happy to. It's called Will I Ever Overcome This? I'm scared, actually terrified. This way of life has molded me. This is who I am. No dreams, no ambitions, no motivation, no responsibility. How easy my life goes by. My other love, my first love, the one I gave away, her nose up to the window watching me drive away, crying for me, the only one that can comfort her, and I still drive away.
And what can you tell us about the author of that?
Not very much. I actually chose that one because it's not one that we're going to be reading tomorrow. She's someone I've completely lost touch with.
Does that happen often in the prison system, that you have people who come in and out, maybe go off to a different facility, or come in and out of the correctional system in general, and it must be difficult to keep in touch with them?
It is. We have a core group that we've really been writing with over the past 4 years, and I am sad to say that they have come and gone. But the 9 women that we're writing, having read tomorrow night at the book launch, are in fact all out, and we're extremely proud of them. We've been in touch with a number of them, and some of them send me their writing, and we continue to be in touch that way. We're slowly forming a group on the outside to keep writing with them, and some of them we just are in touch with as informal mentors, helping them make the transition back to their communities.
And in terms of being published in this book, did they have to use their names? Can they be anonymous? I mean, how do you deal with that issue of expressing very personal emotions in a book like this?
That's a good question, Jane. We have a policy, because we have a blog where we feature women's writings every week. We have a policy of just using initials. When we were approached by Orbis Books to do this particular publication, we did obtain permission from some of the women. We gave them the choice if they wanted to be known by their first name. So we have signed releases from them.
Why did you and your co-editor and co-director of this writing project, Mary Beth Redmond, think that writing would help incarcerated women deal with some of the issues that we're talking about?
Well, writing is transformative. Anyone can do it, regardless of their age, their education. It is a way of coming to voice, of finding that they actually have their own feelings, their own thoughts, and it's a way to be heard. Many of these women have never been heard before, and our circles are very carefully structured so that respectful listening is a big part of it. And it also then gives them a chance to really reflect, to see where they've been and where they're going. So over time, they have, if you will, a written documentation of their progress. And as we came along with this program, it turned out that it became an advocacy program as well. We didn't really know we were going to be doing that. But we were both very drawn to working with marginalized women, and this population was just ripe and ready. And we've had extremely positive results with them, if you will, because our practices, not only do we emphasize respectful listening and confidentiality, but we create a community of trust, and we teach them, if you will, by example. So they have some role models for pro-social behaviors, which is something many of them have not had before.
Would you read us another piece?
I would love to. This is a really powerful one. This is a woman who we had hoped would be reading with us, sadly is back inside. It's called Reading Scars. Those of us who survive here by reading scars, finding faults before they open up and swallow us, talk gingerly. We learned early to whisper, tiptoe, skirt our way around. We live by losing, love by letting go, enduring the random uprooting. We drown in downpours. Because we find ourselves so often unable to speak endings without stories, scattered notes instead of songs, what will it take? Will my children tell whole stories? Will they dance? Will they be able to push down beyond the scars and faults? Oh, how I pray they be filled with a sense of their own belonging, to be fruit undamaged.
It is a powerful piece, looking at and looking from the inside out at what are your children's lives going to be like. Mm. Is that typical of the writing that you're seeing from these women, reflecting on where they are in their lives and then what may be happening, especially to their children?
Yes, children are a major theme. Not necessarily a theme that we bring in, but certainly in reflecting on their decisions and their choices. About 80% of the women are mothers, so that is definitely a major theme.
You've talked, Sarah, a little bit about what you think the women in this program get out of writing and the sometimes therapeutic value, but also mm-hmm. having that kind of community. What do you want readers to get out of this? Why should readers be reading the thoughts and reflections of women in Vermont prison?
Well, I think that people tend to have sort of a stereotype. As you mentioned earlier, that there's a greater stigma for women inside. And I think it's very hard for people to see, hear a woman is incarcerated and then see her as a real person. I mean, it could be my mother, sister, daughter, or yours. So I think so, telling the human stories, these are still human beings.
Sarah Bartlett is co-editor of the book Hear Me, See Me, Incarcerated Women Write. Sarah, thank you so much for telling us a little bit about the book and the program.
Thank you, Jane. It's a pleasure.
And there is a book release party tomorrow at the Main Street Landing in Burlington at 5:30. Some of the writers, as Sarah mentioned, who have been released from prison and are in the book will be there to read their pieces.